Welcome to the Edinburgh Side Review, episode 27. My name's Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening.
Good evening. It's been even longer than usual since our last podcast.
It has been. It's kind of become, it's gone from two, buggered the startup.
You've buggered the startup. It's sporadic, our podcast these days.
From 2 weeks to 2 months.
2 weeks to 2 months, but we'll press on. We'll press on. We'll talk more about later what we got up to in the intervening months, perhaps.
Because as usual, you want to get straight into the cider, don't you?
I do. What's in your fridge this month, IT?
In the fridge this month, year, century, we have got four different ciders this week, starting with a Bolli de Amariki. Is that how you say it?
Bolli de Amariki.
Aye, Breton cider. Sounds good. We've got a Rosson Y Aston Brown Jersey cider.
Yeah. That's one from Robert Ainsworth, I think.
We also have a 2013 Kingston Red Streak by Dragon Orchard, which sounds interesting, and a nice 750 centilitre bottle. And we've also got a Planet B dry cider from Herefordshire Cider. Which one are we starting with?
So we go dry to sweet.
So should we start with the Planet B?
We will do.
Right, now, warning, I have a brand new rug and sofa. So just a reminder, please do not spill any cider on it.
Okay.
As you hold it right over my brand new rug.
That's okay. I've averted the spillage.
Good. Don't have it all. It's in a little bottle, remember.
Just.
This is a 330ml bottle that I picked up in Oddbins off Leith Walk. I see, so you've just emptied the whole thing. It's fine.
I did. I forgot what we did. But it's a small bottle, so...
it is a small bottle.
So this is classed as dry cider. We're starting in the right place for once.
It is. And this is a special edition. It's supporting Friends of the Honeybee, this cider.
That's dry, but it's good dry. It's my kind of dry.
Oh, yeah.
Mouthfeel kind of dry.
That's quite good, that, actually.
Yeah. I don't even... See, I wonder if that's one of these ciders that's more okay than... on the okay side of things than the dry sweet scale. Because you can see that it is dry. I mean, there is a slight dry aftertaste to it. But it doesn't have the other aspects that you get to other dry ciders.
Yeah. I like that, though. It's dry, but immediately, sip of that and, oh, that's a good cider. Mm. I like that a lot.
But we've seen certain cider taste maps, and it talks about the four different taste quadrants. Oak, sweet, medium, dry, is it, that you sometimes get? And I don't know whether you would put where you'd put this in the quadrant scale or whatever, but...
Well, we are getting advanced with our testing.
I don't know, I just saw one. I saw one thing online in the 2 months it's taken us since to have our last podcast, but... It's a dry cider, but it's a very different kind of dry cider. And it's not even advertised as medium dry. It's advertised as pure
dry.
It is dry.
It's good, though.
Very drinkable.
Do you know who makes it?
I don't.
Tom Oliver? Uh-huh.
Why does he not advertise it under his own branding, then?
It must be a kind of limited edition one, which is for helping the bees. So he's obviously worked in association with Planet Bee to create this cider. Because they're donating, for every bottle, Planet Bee will donate 25% of its profits to Friends of the Honeybee.
Yeah, very good.
But yeah, no, it's a good cider.
Good cause, good cider.
It is a very good cider.
And I would say it brings back this, tasting a bit more. I think it's got, that because it's got that mouthfeel aspect, I think that gives it a kind of false sweetness. There's nothing sweet about it, but you feel like there is somehow. Because it's got that, it's touching your mouth in all different places, and it's got a lot of things going on to it. So I like that a lot. Mm. I'd say that's probably my favourite dry cider we've had.
And you can get it in Edinburgh.
And we can get it in Edinburgh. I'm going to go and get some. Genuinely going to go and get some. I'm going to give that high marks.
What are you going to give it?
Well, you go first.
I'm going to give it an 8.
I'm going to give it a 9. I'm going to give it a 9 because... That is...
Have you given a cider 9 before?
Yeah. Way back.
Okay.
In fact, it's been almost like 2 years since we started this.
Yeah, it pretty much is. 2 years. It's over 2 years.
Yeah, well, welcome to the 2 year anniversary show.
We've just discovered.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on such an occasion. And there we go. So in honour of our 2 year anniversary, I'm going to give this a 9.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to give it a 9.5.
Oh, I'm sensing some bumping up of grades here.
No.
Because you weren't that sure about it.
No, but the more every single sip I've had of it,
since I told you it was Tom Oliver that made it,
no, it's gone up. It's not just that. Every single sip I've had of it, I've enjoyed it more, and I'm tasting something new.
Mm.
And it's and given the fact that it's a dry cider that is not usually what we take a shining to on the, it's not our exact pincer of where we come in the spectrum, whatever the spectrum is. I'm going to give that a 9.5 because it's really, really good.
Wow. So 8.75?
Yep.
Is that then top of the league table?
Yep. I recommend cider lovers in Edinburgh should definitely get this.
Yeah. Well, no, so do I. Good cider.
And anywhere if you see it.
Good
cider. So will we repeat the name for the listeners? Planet B, dry cider from Herefordshire.
What percent is it?
It is 6%.
6%, okay.
A good standard percentage.
Well, I'm hoping that the show hasn't peaked there and the rest of these ciders that we've got are actually decent.
I'm pretty sure it probably has, but we'll press on. So the next one is... I've just completely finished that.
You have, you have done that.
But you've almost finished it as well.
Well, no, I know, true. That's only because I know what I've got another cider to taste in a second.
Okay, so the next one is... I think the brand... The make is Once Upon a Tree, but the cider is called Kingston Red Streak. Is that right?
Where's Once Upon a Tree? Well, it's saying Dragon Orchard cider, though, at the bottom.
So it is. So there seems to be multiple brandings on this, but the cider seems to be called Kingston Red Streak.
Yeah, is that not an apple? Because you get Red Streak, don't you? So it must
be yeah.
Or is it two apples? Kingston and Red Streak. It'll be one or the other.
Yeah, maybe.
So I picked this up. I can't remember where I picked this up. Now, Shrewsbury, I think. I think there's another one I picked up in
Shrewsbury. It's won a BBC Radio 4 award.
I didn't know they did awards.
Well, it's on the bottle that you've picked up.
So it is.
Best Drinks, Food and Farming Awards, Best Drinks Producer 2012 to 2013. Anyway, we'll open up.
Crack it open.
Corkscrew, so not corkscrew, but a screw top.
Screw top.
So,
so what was this? What's... Is this going to be medium dry?
This is medium dry.
All right, okay.
So this should be more into our sphere of...
Looks quite still. Ooh, smells a bit different. I'm getting fruity.
That's a good cider.
Ooh, that's different.
That's a very nice
What we got here then? Still, completely, pretty much.
I'm really pleased with that. Totally different to the first cider.
Mm. I don't think I really taste anything like this.
But it's really good.
But it is good, yeah.
We're doing well today so far. This is really good. There's nothing boring or mundane or just this, oh, there's another 6.75 or whatever. No, this is good stuff today.
Oh, it's got really strong taste to it.
It's got something about the smell at the start.
I mean, it tastes strong. What percentage is it? It's 7%. Not ridiculous.
Yeah, but there's a lot to that. There's a subtle element of that kind of tannin flavour, but that's not the overpowering aspect of it.
Mm.
There's so much going on there, isn't there? But it's very still.
I really can't compare this to anything.
There's a lot to that. It's not often you get a medium dry still cider, right? But that's quite translucent. It's not like a proper scrumpy.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of the elements of taste to it. Taste to a proper scrumpy, but it's a bit more subtle in a way. But it combines all the little subtleties into quite a strong flavour.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. Sounds good. And yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
I like that a lot.
I wasn't expecting that to be still either. It was a surprise.
And it's very still.
As in it's still. It's got no effervescence.
No effervescence, yeah. That's another story. I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, I'm a bit taken aback by this one. I don't know what to say. It's so different.
Well, the thing is, when we do these tasting sessions, we've now had quite a lot of cider. We know roughly what a good cider is. Sometimes when we get a good cider that's not that unique, we maybe underplay it a little, don't we? We say, yeah, it's a good cider. Yeah, yeah, it's about a 7.
No, it's true. Yeah, something. It's true.
Whenever what we're really, I suppose, looking for when we do this tasting test It's what we've had in this cider and the previous one, which is something that is unique.
Yeah, we like things to be different.
Yeah, and even though you call everything different, we mean genuinely different.
I don't mean...
Yeah, because they've all got their subtle differences. Yeah, but these two are genuinely different.
It's true. And then, don't drink too much of it.
I'm just having another mouth.
Okay.
I think sometimes you've got to watch, because if you give a good one you really like a high grade, you can maybe be tempted to give the other one a high grade as well. But equally, you don't want to punish it just because it's come after a good one as well. So.
No, I'm giving that an 8 as well.
I think you've been harsh. I think you've been harsh on the last two. I'm giving that an 8.5.
Okay. So 8.2.
It's a good cider.
For the Once Upon a Tree Kingston Red Streak.
Yeah. We're talking good cider there. Very good.
Cool.
So we move on. So we now come to, I think I got this a while ago from Robert Ainsworth. It's a Ross on Y. Is that Ross on Y or Ross on Wee?
I thought it was Y.
Well, anyway, it's from Jersey. It's the Ashton Brown Jersey Cider. I think we've had another kind of the Jersey cider.
Well, the Ross on Wye, they're the ones that do the, not Legless Man, what's it called?
Headless Man.
Headless Man. Is it Headless Man? Yeah.
Yeah. So we've had them before, but this one's the Ashton Brown Jersey cider.
So this is our single variety.
Are you, is that glass clean?
Right, yeah, that's fine. Fizzy?
Yeah. Oh, I'm giving large portions.
Yeah, you are today. You're probably glugging them out. A touch cloudy, this one.
Yeah, this is more of what we'd maybe expect from a kind of standard good. This is a medium cider, I think.
Ooh, I'm getting hints of that thing that we don't necessarily like.
It says medium bittersweet.
Medium bittersweet.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so
let's give it a taste.
Take from that what you will.
Oh no, actually, that's you're pulling a strange face.
I'm not sure about it.
I think it'll grow on you.
I think maybe the previous ciders I'm still got in my mouth.
Yeah. Oh. It's that taste. What the hell is that taste? We've had this in other cider, especially like I think the Tuts Clump.
I don't know. I can't.
Some of those. And it's got a really strong, obvious. I mean, the bitter. Yeah, maybe it's bitter sweetness coming through. Because it just. It's quite dry, I'd say. What's this advertised as?
It says bittersweet. I mean, medium bittersweet.
Oh, right, I see.
That's why I put it there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I didn't just chuck it in the middle.
Yeah.
To throw it, so. I'm not sure about that at all.
Yeah, see. Maybe with these single varieties, we should be having a. Get one of their apples to compare it with.
Yeah, but that. See, I'll be honest, I don't think that tastes how it should. I don't think it's meant to taste like that.
I see why you're saying that, but I think it is meant to taste like that.
I'm not convinced. I mean, no, don't get me wrong, there's certain ciders that maybe we don't quite like, or certain single varieties of apples that we'd prefer over others, but there's something about that that just doesn't taste.
It's clearly, I think it's not. I don't think it's up our street, but I think it definitely is up decent cider drinkers' streets, or some of.
I don't know. It's not.
Well, it's different. Are we going to mark it up for that?
No, I can't give that high marks. I can't. There's nothing in that I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, it's got a really strong kind of. I can see it is that bittersweet, but it's more than the bittersweet. It's almost like.
It's just bitter to me.
It's like that earwax, kind of cranberry kind of.
No, it's not. There's nothing sweet about it. It's just bitter.
Okay.
It's not even on the medium dry scale or medium sweet. It's just bitter.
Okay. Okay.
This could be interesting. Can you taste anything sweet about that at all? I don't. I'm getting nothing.
I don't think so, but. It's not advertised as sweet. It's advertised as bittersweet.
Yeah, but to me, it's just bitter.
Okay.
So on that basis, I'm going to give it a 5.
A 5? What am I going to give it? Yeah, I'm going to give it a 5 as well.
The thing is, right, we've had other ciders from them that we liked.
Yeah, the Headless Man I liked a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's not that they produce bad cider, it's just we don't like this one.
Yeah.
We're being honest, we don't like it.
Yeah.
We'll give it a 5 because. And we're giving it a 5 on the basis that we can drink it. Just.
We're not, yeah.
Well, that's the basis I'm giving it a 5.
Yeah. We haven't poured any ciders away yet, have we? There was that one that smelt like blocked drains.
I don't think we finished that. That was like... like we give that 3 or something.
But the rest, I think, yeah, I've been stomachable at least. But yeah, not sure about this one.
No.
Well, so five we've got.
Okay, so our last cider.
Now this one
is the Bolle d'Armorique.
Bolle d'Armorique Breton cider, which I believe is called Bowlful of Brittany.
Bowlful of Brittany
is what it means.
No, it doesn't.
Look it up.
Bolle d'Armorique does not mean Bowlful of Brittany.
Well, that's what Google Translate said.
Well, it's wrong, because you know the word... So, Brittany, yeah?
Yeah.
The region of France.
Right.
In fact, you could argue a nation of France, yes?
Yeah.
You know what the word for that in French is?
It'd be like Britannia.
No, Britannia.
Aye.
So, if that was Bowlful of Brittany,
well, what does
it'd be Bolle de Brittany.
Yeah, well, what does d'Armorique mean, then? It must mean something similar to...
Well, armor means love or adoration, doesn't it?
Well, Google Translate said Bowlful of Brittany, and that makes sense. It kind of just plucked that out of thin air.
Well,
because it's from Brittany.
I think you're wrong. Anyway, is this the one we had in the pub off Leith Lothian
yes.
Road?
Yes, we had this in the Red Squirrel. Yeah, they had it in. And I picked this bottle up again in Odd Bins off Leith Walk, and I've also picked up in Odd Bins off, what is it, Queensferry Street. So you can get your hands on it in Edinburgh.
Well, we've had Bolle de Corignan before. Is it the same brand?
No. I looked up...
Right.
I looked up who it's by, and for some reason they like calling their ciders after bowls, these French. But no, it is a different producer.
It's good cider. That's what you expect.
Clear.
It's good French cider.
Oh, it's got that smell.
Tastes... we've had... I'm not even going to go the usual thing that I always repeat about French cider.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there's two kinds of French cider we've had. One's very farmhouse type. The other is kind of like that.
Okay.
And I think maybe I've misinterpreted what is the different definitions of French cider. And I think that's not necessarily a farmhouse cider, but it's very French. And it's good.
Yeah, I like this a lot.
I like it a lot. I think I prefer the French farmhouse cider, though. But I still like this a lot.
I do, yeah. I like this.
It's like Cidre de Récoltant. It's
It is.
It's more that kind of...
very kind of apple-y, fizzy. It's like 4% or 5% as usual. Really tasty. Kind of not too dry.
But you'd still, would you not still go for the farmhouse stuff that France does over that?
I'd need to.
You would know it's more cloudy, but it's still slightly sweeter, maybe, or
maybe I'd need to try some of that again, because it's been so long since I need the proper farmhouse stuff. There is a bottle. I've still got a bottle of French stuff next door, I think, that your dad.
Oh right,
sent through. So we'll save that for next time. But meanwhile, the bowl of Brittany. Bowlful, whatever.
Bolle d'Armorique. There's no way that's Bowlful of Brittany. There is absolutely no way, IT.
Well, how do you explain Google Translate plucking it?
Because, it's wrong. You've typed something in wrong. You've done something wrong.
Okay. Well, we shall look that up after the show. Meanwhile, what are you scoring it?
7.
I'm giving it 7.5.
Yeah, right. It's about fair.
Because it's good, but it's really good. It just doesn't, for me, have that...
farmhouse feel.
Yeah. it's like when you compare it to the Planet B from Oliver's or the Kingston Red Street, for example, those are clearly good, traditional good UK ciders. Whereas the Breton ones are good, but they're just not as traditional.
No. You're wrong. It's not that... Not all Breton ciders are not traditional. Some are, some aren't.
Aye. Well, no, I know. Well, not traditional UK kind of... I don't know. Maybe I'm being country biased. But anyway, it's...
I don't understand how... This is what I don't understand about your IT, right? It's almost like you deliberately are ignorant about it. How many Breton ciders have you had now? At least 10.
I could look on our updated league table.
Why are you pretending to be ignorant about it? You do know about it. You've had two... You must be able to learn about the different ciders you've had from France. Yeah?
Yeah.
So the farmhouse stuff that we have in big, massive champagne-style bottles tends to be farmhouse cider. Yes?
Uh-huh.
And it tends to be a traditional farmhouse method of making cider.
Okay.
Traditionally French method, yes. And nice, yeah. I don't get me wrong, this stuff isn't maybe as maybe a bit more mass produced, and it's still nice, but I'm just saying,
yeah,
it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
The lack of tradition isn't necessarily making it because it's French. It's just because that's the way this one was made.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So if I wasn't completely clear, but yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying.
Fair enough. Okay, so 7.25.
7.25 for the anyway, Bowl of Brittany.
What's in any cider news this month?
This month, we've got a few bits. It's been a bit lacking of cider news these last couple of months. I've struggled to find much of interest going on in the world. But we've got some points to talk about. Pardon me. Crediton's Old Cider Works.
Never heard of them.
So Crediton's Old Cider Works. It's a building that was purpose-built for cider making in the 1930s.
Right.
And it was used until about the 1960s to make cider. It's a big well-known cider works between all the cider makers down south. It was used, I think, since then. It's been used as like an army surplus store or something. But the reason I bring it up is because it has now been bought by Barney Butterfield.
Who is Barney Butterfield?
Barney Butterfield is the owner of Sanford Orchards.
Ah, right, okay.
We like Sanford Orchards.
We do.
So they're basically, they bought this old building, which was originally purpose-built for cider, in order to expand their cider-making facilities. And they plan, at the moment, apparently they make 600,000 litres a year. Yep. And over the next 5 years, they're planning to pump that up to over 4 million litres.
4 million litres.
So
they must be expanding generally.
So
we'll be seeing more of Sanford Orchards generally.
Hopefully. I mean, that's why I mentioned this, because we like Sanford Orchards. Both their Devon Scrumpy and your kind of slightly weaker, what's it called, Devon Red.
Yeah.
In fact, I had the Marks & Spencer's Sanford one the other day, which isn't as quite as good as the Devon Red, but it's
yeah,
not bad.
I think I had that at one point. In fact, did I have it here?
Possibly. So good news. Cider maker.
That's very good news.
Cider maker. Good news is.
I don't think we've actually had it in the podcast, but the Devon Scrumpy cider they do, it's really top class.
Mm.
I mean, the Devon Red's good, but the Devon Scrumpy they do is like, it's a really.
If you've not
good
had
cider.
It and you're in Edinburgh, get yourself down to Brewdog.
Yeah,
they normally have the Devon Scrumpy in stock.
Yeah.
So moving on, as it's coming to that time of year, Weston's.
Which time of year?
Well, you'll see in a second.
Yeah, but remember, we do our podcast now in a month or two delay from the previous one. And also,
it doesn't come out a month or two.
Some people will be listening to this
anyway,
like a year from now.
That's fine.
So what time of year is it?
There's a date
on
it. It is the time of year for, or it's approaching the time of year at least, for mulled cider.
For mulled cider, yeah.
Henry Weston.
It's November the 4th today.
Yes.
Yep, just
it's getting there.
Yeah,
the winters are getting cold.
Yeah,
Henry Wessons is launching a bag-in-box mulled cider.
Right,
Which kind of makes sense because you normally get your mulled cider in vast quantities dished out, so this lasts a while. Pre-mulled.
I'm not sure I'm that happy about it.
Well, yeah, I can. I know you're on the fence about mulled cider.
I'm not that fussed about mulled cider. I mean, I'll drink it. But if I'm going to have mulled cider, I'd want it freshly mulled. I'm not going to go to the bother, really. I'm not going to go to the bother of mulling cider myself. If I'm at an event and there's mulled cider going, I'll have some.
Yeah.
But I'd want it freshly mulled by somebody that's taken the time and effort to do it.
True. Well, I'm going to reserve my judgment until I track it down and try some of the Henry Weston's mulled cider.
All right, okay.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, New Zealand farmer.
Okay.
Have an article.
New Zealand Farmer?
Yes.
Is that a newspaper?
It's a website.
Right.
Kind of thing.
The kind of website you track down daily?
Yes. No, I'm a frequent follower of New Zealand Farmer. But apparently, cider makers in New Zealand want to make nutritional info compulsory on cider packaging. Now, I know this was briefly in the UK news a week or so ago, just in with regards to alcohol in general and putting like the calories on packaging.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. This came up a couple of weeks ago on New Zealand, because the main reason the cider makers over there want this is because of the rise in ciders with a high sugar content, i.e. like your fruity ones and and I mean, even potentially your kind of Magnum ones, or your kind of really sweet artificial ones. The traditional style makers over there want it to be compulsory that effectively something is on the label to be able to make it obvious whether the cider is traditional or whether it's pumped full of sugar.
Yeah, but I think I thought just like your normal cider, like your normal good real cider, was that had actually more calories than some of the fruity nonsense.
Well, we're talking here about sugar, and especially obviously, I mean your standard cider is.
Yeah, but by that you mean added sugar rather than fructose.
So yeah, added sugar. Because like Recordlig or something is like 9% sugar. So it's an interesting, I mean, it's obviously they're mainly saying it's for the difference between the more sugary ones over the traditional ones. But we've always talked about this and having something that differentiates, so you can look at a bottle and you can see whether it's effectively real or not real. Because what I didn't realise, the Australian New Zealand Food Standards Code defines cider as fruit wine that is prepared from the fermentation of apple juice.
Right.
But must not contain flavourings. So in Australia and New Zealand, you're not allowed to call it cider if it's got flavourings in it.
So they've effectively got some definition.
Yep.
Of real cider.
And what that means is that the vast majority of Recordlig cider is banned from New Zealand supermarkets.
So what's it, can they not just advertise it under some other name?
Well, you'd think that.
They just don't bother.
But it's yeah, those flavours are banned from. I mean, I think they'd have to call it like an Alcopop or something.
Yeah.
So they've almost got to step up. And like in the UK, imagine in the UK it was like that. You had a proper definition, because those things should not be called cider.
They shouldn't
at all. So
so well done, New Zealand.
It's yeah. It's, I mean, on that, we'll come to my Canadian adventures shortly. But when I was over there, I noticed that Somersby, for whatever reason, over there, in big letters on the front of the bottle, it says Somersby Apple Flavored Cider.
Apple flavored cider.
Yeah.
So,
which is
that doesn't that's
I know
that's just wrong on so many levels.
It's a weird one. It's almost, I mean,
it's almost proving that the word cider's lost meaning in certain parts of the world.
But yeah, it is. But initially, I thought it might be, oh, maybe the regulations over there are a bit higher, so they can't call it kind of apple cider unless it's actually made of proper apples or something like that. But as you saw, I posted on Twitter a few weeks ago, big banner in Toronto by Strongbow saying real apples, real cider. So Strongbow can get away with saying that. I don't quite understand why Somersby has to say apple-flavoured cider on the front of their cans. So it's very weird over there.
That is weird. There's something I don't like about that. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Carry
so,
on.
An interesting idea. So we'll hear, obviously this is the cider makers kind of putting together a proposal. So whether this actually happens over in New Zealand or not, we'll see. But I think it's something to keep an eye out, because if that does happen, it would be something to kind of push for in the UK to be able to...
Well, it would be.
To split that gap between your obviously not cider and real cider.
Okay. Is that all our cider news?
That's all our cider news that we've got for...
This month,
decade, year.
Okay, well, at this juncture, we usually review pubs that we've been to of late. Given we haven't... haven't really been out in Edinburgh in the last couple of months. We've both been on holiday in various places, and I've had two illnesses in that time, so...
excuses.
Do you want to report on your cider adventures in Canada?
I'll briefly touch on a few. I mean, I tried to track down, as I've said in the past, cider when I was over in Ottawa, but miserably failed, mainly because, as I've said, they heavily regulate the alcohol that's available on sale there, and you can only buy it from a single shop, effectively, that's government-controlled. And that has no decent cider in it whatsoever. So I failed in Ottawa, but in Toronto, tracked down some Spirit Tree draft cider, which was probably it wasn't quite as traditional feeling as our good ciders over here, but it was the closest I got to it. Because the ones I'd tried, like Growers, which I've now discovered is basically Strongbow.
Okay. And this one, the Spirit Tree, is this a Quebecois?
It's an Ontarian cider, yes.
Ontarian.
Yes. I didn't spend enough time in Quebec to manage to track down any French-style ciders over there. But no, Spirit Tree is one of the good ones. And then, I mean, also West Avenue are one of the big cider, another big Ontario cider maker.
West Avenue.
And I tracked down their Heritage Dry, and it was good, but it just felt a bit too kind of crisp for my liking. A bit too filtered down, kind of.
When you say crisp, can you draw a parable of another cider that's too crisp?
Something like
Stella Cidra.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't put it on exact lines as that, but kind of guessing there, nothing special, nothing extra special.
Okay.
And then County Cider Company, I tracked down one of their pear ciders, which was quite good too. So,
but nothing amazing.
No, it's hard to. I think I'm still hedging my bets on Quebec and being able to pop over to Quebec, and hopefully they'll have some decent French style stuff.
Well, you did better than I did in Italy. I found no cider at all.
All right.
In Italy.
Sounds like more Italian cider in Italy.
To be honest, I wasn't really looking that much, and I was only there for about 7 days, less than that. But Liguria is not famous for cider.
Okay.
In Italy.
Right. What's it famous for?
Pesto.
Okay.
And certain kinds of pasta.
Right.
And fish.
Just fish in general.
Well, specifically octopus, which was very nice.
It's not fish.
Well, seafood.
Okay. I don't do seafood.
But I didn't see any cider.
So do you have like octopus and pesto?
No, you have an octopus salad. You tend to do that. Mm. And then pesto with pasta.
Okay. Okay.
So it was very good.
Cool. Cool.
In fact, the food was exceptional.
Yeah, you said that.
Yeah.
Sounded like a good part of Italy to go for food.
Yeah, but not so for cider. Anyway, I've said that, so let's move on.
Let's come back to the UK. Just a couple of bits I wanted to mention. I was in standing order George Street.
In Edinburgh.
The other week, in Edinburgh, yes. Yep. Now, Wetherspoons are normally, although it's a Wetherspoons, they normally do have a decent selection of cider, don't they?
Yeah, you've usually got a good option, at least.
But I was a wee bit disappointed in standing order. Their selection of cider really seems to have plummeted.
Why did you go there instantly and not the other...
We were meeting other people, I can't remember.
Wasn't your choice?
No, we were looking somewhere near. Wasn't my choice. But they did have Orchard Pig Truffler, which is a new one for Wetherspoons. I've not seen that.
For them, yeah.
As well as Aspel. But slightly more interesting, they had Angry Orchard. Which, Angry Orchard, we've mentioned the show in the past. It's the one I tracked down when I was in Chicago.
I had that in our pub in Bruntsfield as well.
Ah, right.
Sorry, I forgot to say that. Yeah, I really should have taken a note of the pub. I think I did, actually.
What are your thoughts on Angry Orchard, then?
I liked it.
You liked it?
Yeah. And not, I didn't think it was amazing. I didn't think it was...
Because when I had it, it's definitely your American-style cider. Because I had a few others over there, and they were all kind of like that. And I compare Angry Orchard to your Apple Kopparberg. You know that Naked Apple Kopparberg?
Is it the same genre, really?
Well, no.
I thought Angry Orchard was a bit more real.
No, it's not.
I'm not saying real, but a bit more...
It's really not. No, Angry Orchard is basically your US Strongbow.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm afraid. So, while they do have an American cider, it's interesting that's picked up in a couple of places over here then. But on the subject of American-style cider, do you remember a few shows back I mentioned Lazy Jacks?
I vaguely remember.
They were the ones that were bringing out an American-style cider to the UK market, but they were the ones, remember, they specifically said that they were not going to branch out into the fruity sector of the market. And so they described themselves as a cloudy apple cider.
Yeah.
And I was going to reserve my judgment because, as I said, I wasn't much a fan of the American-style Angry Orchard or the Hornsby's, for that matter. Well, I was delighted to see that Tesco's now have it in. However, on my Tesco.com order the other day, I placed my order for a bottle of Lazy Jacks.
And you got a substitute of
and
something totally different.
I got a substitute of Carling British Cider.
Yeah, there you go.
So I said...
Did you complain?
Well, no, I said to the guy there and then, no, I won't have that, and so he refunded me. So I didn't sign for the Carling British Cider. So Lazy Jacks Cider is now... in Tesco, so we'll track down that. And my hopes aren't high, but it's worth trying.
Well, I didn't see it last time. I mean, every time I live around the corner from a relatively big Tesco, and every time I'm in, I look at the cider and I didn't see it.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't always buy cider when I'm in, because I only buy for something new. or I've got none in the fridge.
Your Tesco used to do Henny's Vintage, and I've not seen that anywhere for a while.
No, is Henny's Vintage the clear bottle? Or the
no,
dark
that's
bottle?
The dark bottle.
No, it hasn't done that for a long time.
Yeah. It
hasn't done it for at least a year.
They used to do it, yeah, exactly, that long ago. And it seems to be the dry...
Well, since I moved in, it's not done it. It
seems to be the dry that you find these days.
Well, that's all it's got. I think they changed it recently. I can't remember even if I saw Henny's the last time they changed. But, I can't remember them doing the Vintage since I lived in my country.
No, it has been a while. It's a shame because the Vintage was different compared to your
it was nice,
ciders.
Wasn't it?
I mean, the dry is still decent. The Henny's dry is still good, but the Vintage was.
It's a bit. I find it a wee bit boring's harsh, but like the Vintage is a good cider with a lot going on to it. The dry is just a bit twee.
Yeah, it's a decent dry.
Far better
cider,
than most of the other ciders there. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, true. It's probably the best one in Tesco's.
Yeah.
So that's our pub cider speak for this week.
Discussion.
Aye.
We do we get in touch with any pubs that we need to review, or areas that we need to review? We've done. There probably is a lot of pubs that we still need to go to, and I'm sure there's a hidden gem somewhere that we've not seen yet.
I'm sure there is.
So please let us know, Edinburgh listeners.
Do indeed.
Do we have any correspondence?
Just one tweet I want to mention. In the last show, we had Oldfields Orchard Medium Sweet Cider.
So long ago, I see. I can't remember.
Okay,
how did we rate it?
Do you remember? I think that was the one which had. Remember when you were saying it said like 6.4 in big letters at the top of the bottle?
Vaguely, yes.
Right, okay, and we weren't sure how real it was, let's say.
Okay.
Well, Oldfield Orchard's got in touch, thanks to the review, and confirmed that their cider is indeed entirely made from their own freshly picked apples.
Okay.
So, Oldfield Orchard's. I think we gave it not a bad review.
What did we give it?
I can't remember. I'd need to look up my newly updated league table. I've spent several hours today. I had to catch up on about 5 shows.
So the league table's now up to date?
The league table is now up to date.
For the first time in about 9
months?
Well,
I don't know. We say that, but I've still got to obviously put the ciders on that we've just reviewed, so that might take a while.
Yeah,
we'll see.
So as of just before you're listening to this show,
yep,
the league table was up to date.
It was.
And will soon, no doubt, be updated again.
Hopefully. I'm on a roll now. I like to think I'm on a roll, so I'll get this updated as soon as possible. But do get onto our website, check out the league table, and get onto our cider map. Whenever you're in a pub in Edinburgh, don't forget, if they've got any decent cider,
let us know
and we shall update the
app. And how would they let us know?
They can email us at theorchard@ciderview.com, or probably what's easiest for most people these days is just to get us on Twitter @ciderview.
And give us any general feedback on the podcast or anything you'd like to share with us.
Such as our new jingle.
Our new jingle, yes. Which we've given the lack of feedback on the jingle question, apart from one or two comments made to us in person, we've just unilaterally decided to change it to the new one.
Well, I'm thinking about starting with the new one at the start of the show and then ending with the old one at the end of the show.
Well, given that right now we won't know.
No, I know. Well, we'll find
probably
out.
Probably shouldn't have that discussion.
You'll have to see what's about to be.
Yeah,
played.
So you better listen out to... I wonder how many folk actually just switch it off when we start this long goodbye. Anyway, on that note, we'll bid you farewell. Thank you for listening to the Edinburgh Side of You, episode 27. We'll see you soon.
See you soon, hopefully sooner than this one's been.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.